And tonight, we're going to again be in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to study verses 30 and 31 and the background material to verses 30 and 31. It says in verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down, having been compassed about after 7 days. Then it says, by faith Rahab the harlot, or the harlot Rahab, did not perish with those who believed not, because in essence then she kept the spies, or received the spies, with peace. Now, here is the incident that's recorded in Joshua chapter 6, the history side of the Old Testament, the history book, that has to do with a victory that the children of Israel were given by God through their faith, acting upon the instructions that God gave. This is not what we call keen military strategy. As a matter of fact, this is the only time you will find recorded in Scripture where a city, a walled city, a very well-defended city, was taken by simply walking around it one time per day for 6 days, and on the seventh day, walking around it 7 times, and then shouting. And now, the complete defense system of this city is gone. Rahab, however, was a resident of this town. And there is some background information about her that's found in chapter 2 of the book of Joshua that we're going to look at. And she and her family were the only ones who survived the fall of the city of Jericho. And there's a reason for that. It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab. So there was something that Rahab knew about God and about Israel and about the circumstance that was about to befall Jericho, but it was not going to befall her. So when I talk about victory, while we underscore the fact that this is the first major victory in the Promised Land, the first city they conquered is Jericho, Rahab also had a victory. So I put her, because she's in the same situation and time frame, in the fact that not dying is a victory. Everybody else died. And there is a word in verse 31 that says, because she did not perish those that believe not. We'll come to that in the second point of this lesson. It's not that others couldn't believe like Rahab believed. It is they chose not to believe. Because they chose not to believe like Rahab believed, and not because it was Rahab, they had the same evidence, they perished. Rahab did not, and that's a victory. Coincidentally, the song before the prayer that Brother Tim Pepper led, Holy Father in Thy Mercy, and he led the fourth stanza. And when he was leading that stanza, I thought, he didn't know this, but this fits perfectly with this lesson. We'll read this stanza out loud to refresh our memory. Wondrous Father, may the Bible sanctify our life. Through thy grace, may we e'er conquer in the daily strife. Conquer. That means to be victorious. Well, where does your faith come from? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. How did they become victorious over the city of Jericho? God told them what to do, and they did it. The spies representing God told Rahab what to do, and she did it. And there is a common denominator there. It was by the faith of these people and by the grace and the goodness of God that the victory over Jericho took place. You will find that with Israel and with Rahab, you have an illustration of how that you can be different in certain backgrounds or certain respects, but have a common element. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Like precious faith. And he's talking to these people from Asia, Bithynia, Pontus, all of these regions where Paul did work. Some places he went, some he did not, we don't have a record of it. But the fact of the matter is, Peter says, your faith and my faith are a common faith, like precious faith. Is faith precious? I mean, the Bible calls it precious. Was Rahab's faith precious to bring about her victory of deliverance in the assault of the city of Jericho? Think about the children of Israel. When you look at particularly this walled city and the fact that what else is in this land that was sort of a threat? Wasn't giants in this land? The sons of Anak in this land? So the first point we're going to look at tonight is this victory about the city of Jericho and what they had to overcome. In Numbers chapter 13, verses 28 to 31, there was the sending in of 12 spies. 10 come back with an unfavorable report. 2 spies come back, Joshua and Caleb, that if God be with us, we can well take this land. Now, without trying to paraphrase, let's go back and let's read particularly some of the statements that are made here, starting verse 28 of Numbers 13. Verse 27, all of them give the report that the land is exactly like God said, a land that flowed with milk and honey. They had a cluster of grapes bore on a pole by 2 men. Shows you how very prosperous this land was as far as produce was concerned. Truly, they said, it is a land that flows with milk, honey. Here's the fruit of it. And verse 27. Verse 28. Nevertheless. How many of you have ever heard someone say, yeah, you're right, but. But there's always one of those in there when people have doubts. But, nevertheless. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are what? Cities are walled. Is Jericho walled? By the way, that wasn't the only town that had walls. The cities are walled, and they are very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. In other words, we saw giants there, descendants of the giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the lands in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. By the way, Amorite meant mountain people. Literally, Amor meant mountain. We call them hillbillies. They'd call them mountain folk. A Canaanite was a coastal dweller, whether it was on water or whether it was on a river. See, Jericho is on the borders of the Jordan River. So they're Canaanites. They're valley dwellers. Mountain dwellers, valley dwellers. Amorite, Canaanite. But you got all these ites out here, Jebusites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites. By the way, they didn't come from Shem. They came through Ham, Noah's son Ham. By the way, they just come out of a land that was of the descendant of Ham. It's called Egypt. Well, Ham's got some more descendants up here in the land of Canaan, Palestine. So we got a problem here. Yes, the land looks like what God said it was. However, nevertheless, you got people here. You've got walls here. You've got all kinds of situations you've got to deal with. How many of you have ever been to a board meeting where you're sitting down, you're dealing with a problem? All of a sudden, here's a person says, here's an idea as to how I believe that we have the resources, the manpower, and if we just have the determination, here's how we can approach to solve this problem. And all of a sudden, someone raises their head and basically says, I don't agree with that. By the way, is that frustrating? Well, what's your idea? Since you've shot mine down, what's your idea? Well, here's my idea. I just don't believe we need to tackle it at all. By the way, that's not an option here. Where are you going to go down here at the edge of the land of Canaan? Are you going back to Egypt? By the way, the naysayer said, let's just go back to Egypt. That's ultimately what their plan was. What's back in Egypt? Death. So where else are you going to go? God said, here's the land I'm giving you. You're right here at the land. Go take it. What does faith do? You say it, I'll do it. Isn't that what faith does? If God be for us, who can be against us? By the way, that's not in the Old Testament. That's in the New. That's in Romans 8. Greater is he that is with us than he that is in the world. That's not in the Old Testament. That's in the New. That's in 1 John. So what's the idea here? Well, I've got some battles I'm fighting in life. What does the city of Jericho and Rahab's survival have to do with my everyday life? It has everything to do with it. Because you all want to overcome obstacles, right? How many of you believe that spiritual battles are tougher than physical ones? You think that's true? How many of you believe that solving problems with people is different than construction of anything of a product line that doesn't have a brain? It's just inanimate. It's just a product. It's like a building or a car or truck or something like that. You know, fixing a lawnmower is one thing, right? Won't run right. Won't idle right. Won't stay going all the time. So what do? You find where the problem is. You determine what the problem is. Or you find somebody that knows how to fix things. They take the part, put a new part in, fires up, start cutting grass. How about this? How about trying to fix this? Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what the gospel is about. It is to conquer high walls, obstacles, and to bring then the mind to bear that this can be done if God says it can be done. Here are two Christians at odds with one another. The Bible says Christians ought to act like Christians. If two Christians will act like Christians, and I don't mean in name only, I mean like what the Bible means, can two Christians that have a problem between each other solve that problem? Come on, shake or nod. Jeff's nodding, so he agrees. How many of you have ever seen two Christians at odds with one another and they're not solving their problem? They're bitter, angry, they bear a grudge for years, decades. What's the problem here? We need a faith that gives a victory. What can happen? Well, got to overcome some things. In Numbers 13, by the way, this is 40 years they're in the wilderness working this out now. After 40 years, they've now come to their first city where years ago, decades ago, a whole generation has died out now. You got this second generation. The question is, do you think like your daddies think? Some of your fathers said it can't be done. Now the question is, is that the way you think? There is in psychology what is known as challenging a person. And there are certain personality types that take to challenges. For example, just tell certain kids, you can't do that. You can't do that. I don't care as hard as you try, it can't be done by you. And do you know that kid will bust their gut to prove you wrong? I've done that to teach 2-year-olds to eat green beans. Literally. Look at this little 2-year-old grandson. I said, now don't you eat it. Don't you eat that. That's not good. And then he'll put it on his fork and he'll put it up to his mouth. Don't you eat that. Next thing he'll put it in there and he'll smile at me and laugh. I said, well, don't you eat another one. Don't you eat another one. Next thing you know, he's cleaned the whole plate of green beans. What's that called? In psychology, that's called reverse psychology. Reverse psychology. In other words, just challenge me. challenge me in a way, and I'll prove to you I'll do that. Well, you won't take Jericho without help. You won't take this city by help without help. As a matter of fact, your father said it can't be done even with God's help. Now, what do you believe? When you come to the sixth chapter of Joshua, you actually have God telling Joshua to then tell the nation what to do, but God makes this great statement based upon this circumstance. Chapter 6, verse 1. Jericho was straitly shut up. Because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. What's wrong with this town? This town is terrified. They have shut all the gates down. They have gone into protection mode. In verse 2, the Lord says to Joshua, See? I have given into thy hand Jericho, the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. They're afraid of you. They've shut the whole town down. Do you see it? 38 years ago, Joshua with Caleb and 10 other guys went through this same land. They saw the city of Jericho decades ago. Joshua and Caleb said, God be with us, we'll take this city. 10 spies said, we're as grasshoppers in their eyes. What's the perspective here? Physically, looking at the problem, it doesn't look like it can be licked. But you're not looking at it with the eyes that God said to look at it. Look at it with the eye of faith. And see it being done. Joshua didn't have a problem with that. And evidently, this generation with Joshua didn't have a problem with it either. By the way, was the city of Jericho taken after having been compassed about 7 days? Hebrews 11:30 says it was. Okay, now let me give you a bigger problem. Bigger problem than the city of Jericho and its walls? Absolutely. You go to a cemetery and you visit the grave of one of your relatives. And you look at the grave of your relative. There are several times when I go down to Montford to teach class. I go by Pine Hill Cemetery in Talladega, Alabama. That's where the graves of my mother and dad are buried, the bodies of my parents. And I've often stood there by myself and looked at the ground. Here's the marker on the ground, and I know their bodies are right there in front of that marker. Now, here's the question. If I look at those two graves without faith, you tell me what I'm looking at. What am I looking at? I'm looking at the end, right? That's the end of the existence of Winton Parley Clark. However, if I look at these two graves by faith, if I look at them by faith, that's different now. What do I see? What do I see? By the way, is there anything to be overcome in looking at this grave? Is there a victory coming with these graves? When death is swallowed up in what? 1 Corinthians 15. Victory, isn't that the word? How many of you believe it's real easy to read this book? It's not that easy to practice it and believe it. No, death's real, isn't it? By the way, even our own mortality is real. With the eye of flesh, without faith, looking at a cemetery is, that's the end of all men. There was on a tombstone one place, I don't know if it's in England or somewhere, it says, here's what it says. As you are, so I was. As I am, so you will be. By the way, y'all want that on your tombstone, right? It's on somebody's tombstone here in this on this planet. As you are, so I was. As I am, so you will be. What does the eye of faith see when it sees a grave? All shall come forth, right? Marvel not that I say unto you. All shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, they that have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. John 5:28 beginning. How does anybody know that a body in a ground is going to be raised incorruptible, immortal, and live forever? How does anybody know that? You don't know it by sight, you know it by faith, based upon the testimony of the Bible. God told them, here's how you take this town. For 6 days, you go around at one time. Stop. On the seventh day, you get up real early and you go around it 7 times. At the end of the 7th time around, I have given you the city. Makes a lot of sense, don't it? It's not meant to make sense. It's meant to be obeyed. That's what it's meant. After they went around it 6 days, how weak were the walls? By the way, the time you marched around it, you'd think, you know, the ground surely has pulled out some of the foundation dirt under here, right? Sister Rhonda Brock did a tremendous amount of work in writing material for our Sunday school program for several years. Matter of fact, several of our people did, males and females. One of the things Sister Brock did is she researched the city of Jericho and the fall of the city of Jericho. And she wrote in the material that we've got from first grade to sixth grade in the teacher section an entire study of material on the walls of the city of Jericho based on archaeology and based on all kinds of information. When I was reading through her material, because I was always reading it, you know, by which then to put it in the folder, I was astonished at what she found. The walls of the city of Jericho were double walls. Did you know that? Double walls. You had an inner wall and you had an outer wall. So you had to breach two walls, literally. And the walls fell outward. This wall fell into this one, and it, like domino, and everything collapsed. With one exception, there's a place on the wall up in the northwest corner. I think it's the northwest corner. I have to go back and look at the material. There's a section in a wall up there that didn't collapse completely to the ground. If you go back and study the book of Joshua, it says that Rahab's house was on the wall. On the wall. Walls of Jericho fell and the house is on the wall. That's right. How is it that a whole wall can collapse, number one, and nobody blasted it, mined it, dynamited it, nuked it? How in the world did all that fall? And how did a particular section not fall? Ha, pure coincidence. Don't think so. How did they overcome their doubts? Well, it took a whole generation to die out, for one, the unbelieving generation. But every generation has got to have faith, just like every other generation's got to have faith. And not everybody around you is going to have faith. So how do you overcome that? God said it. I believe it. And I'll show you I believe it. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Folks, there are myriads of examples like that in the Bible. A man who had leprosy, who was not even an Israelite, was told to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. He didn't want to go to the Jordan River. He says, are not the rivers of Abana and Pharpar greater rivers of Damascus than this river in Jordan? And he was mad. He was very wroth, 2 Kings 5 says, when he was told, go dip 7 times in the Jordan River and you'll be made whole. Wasn't going to do it. His servant said, if he had bid you do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more do what he said and be made whole? That's good friends, isn't it? Why are you quibbling with a cure for leprosy? Just do what he tells you to do and be made whole. He dipped 6 times. By the way, you got to dip 6 to get to 7, right? He dipped 6 times. You tell me how much leprosy was gone on that man's body. Not a bit. God didn't say 6. He didn't say 5. He didn't say 4. He said 7. When he dipped that 7th time and come up, he is as clean as a newborn baby. I saved myself. No, God saved you. But you had to do what God told you to do to show the faith you had in God to save you. That's what this water up here baptism is about too, folks. How many of you know friends or family members of yours that quibble about baptism being anything to do with salvation? Oh, it makes sense to believe in God. It makes sense to believe that Christ is the Son of God. It makes sense to change your ways. That's called repentance. It makes sense to even confess the name of Christ when people ask you, what do you believe? But that don't make sense. It's not meant to make sense. It's meant to be obeyed. It don't make sense to go around the walls of a double-walled city and then be told, now after you've done this 7 days and 7 times on the 7th day, walls will come down. I've never seen that happen before in my life. That's never happened before in history. It's never going to happen again in history. That's right. It ain't going to happen today if you don't do it. They didn't disbelieve. They didn't do like their fathers did. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, being compassed about 7 days. How did the walls of Jericho fall? They believed what God said and they came down. Why? Because they did what God said. By the way, they didn't fall down just because they believed God could take them down. You still had to go around the walls, didn't you? Still had to compass the walls, didn't they? That's right. Let's move on. As a matter of fact, let me go back to this one. Be open-minded. Here's Rahab now. The word in Hebrews 11 and verse 31 that says, by faith the prostitute or the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Some translations, I looked up the ESV and the ASV, American Standard Version, English Standard Version, they said disobeyed or disobedient. The word literally means not to be persuaded. It is from the word apatho, and it meant persuaded, I am not. It means the evidence was there for everybody to believe, and the people from the city of Jericho said, I don't believe it. And because they didn't believe it, they did not submit. But not everybody. Take your Bible now to Joshua chapter 2. I'm not going to read verses 1 to 14. I'm going to go to verses 9 and 10. This is Rahab when the spies come and Rahab hides them on the roof of her house. By the way, she did lie. All right? Let's just get that out front. She did lie to the people of Jericho who came to try to catch these spies. She told them they had left the city, they'd gone to the wall, they'd gone out into the wilderness. If you'll hurry, you can catch them. By the way, she'd already hit them on the roof of her house. She already knew where they were. She knew the handgun. She did lie, by the way. She still needed saving, right? She still needed the blood of Christ. She still needed her faith. Okay? Verse 9, she said unto the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faints because of you. By the way, not just these two spies, but all the Israelite nation, they're representative of it. Watch verse 10. For we have heard. I ask you the question, how does faith come? Faith comes by what? Hearing, right? Hearing by the word of God. We have heard. We've heard something. What did they hear? We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. And we've heard something else. And what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. By the way, Sihon and Og. Any of those guys giants? Og, is he a giant? Yeah, he's a giant. Your God brought you through dry land on the Red Sea, and we have heard about that. And we know you've been victorious on the other side of the Jordan River, and that big giant named Og, you even defeated him. But we had a bedstead of iron. Man, was huge. I guess you'd say his bed was the first king-size bed. What's the picture here? What's Rahab telling these people? We already believe God's given you this land. We're terrified of you. We've heard what your God has done through you to the Egyptians. We heard what your God has done through you to these nations over here on this side of the land. We know what your God can do to us. Question, is she open-minded to the truth of what's going on here? How about the rest of her town? They are not persuaded. They're closed-minded. We don't care what he's done. We don't care what that God's done. We're not going to bow to the knee of this. Chapter 2 and verse 15, they tell her, by the way, they let these spies out from her house through a window from a scarlet cord. Evidently, cord, thread here, does not mean something thin. If you're letting guys down the side of a wall, probably is a rope. Would you imagine that? We're not talking about a thread or like a cord off of a sash of a blind. She lets them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt on the wall. Quite interesting fact the Bible gives us here. House is on the wall that's coming down, but not her house. She said unto them, get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and after then go your way. In other words, go back to where you came from. The men said unto her, we'll be blameless of this thine oath that thou hast made us to swear. Behold, when we come into the land, bind this line of scarlet thread, by the way, the word thread there would be a cord, in the window that thou dost let us down, and thou shalt bring thy father, thy mother, thy brethren, all thy household home unto thee. It shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood be on his head. And we will be guiltless, and whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood be on our head, if any hand be upon him. So what's the idea? We leave, go down this cord, you tie this cord into the window on the outside of this of your house, into that where the wall is. And if you read Joshua 6, verses 22 to 25, it actually gives the report that Joshua tells the nation, this woman here, where the cord is in the window, you spare her and everybody in that house. That sounds like scarlet cord salvation, don't it?
like water salvation, don't it? By the way, what if she believed God would spare her, but she didn't keep the cord in the window? Is that faith, or is that disobedience? In the book of James, chapter 2, verses 24 and 25, right next to Abraham now, it says, by faith, Rahab, this same Rahab, in the book of James now, was justified by works. What kind of works? Works of merit? Scarlet cord in a window is not a work of merit. That's an action of faith. They told her to do it, and she did it. Did she gain a victory the day Israel won the Battle of Jericho? A Canaanite now, wins a victory when the Israelites actually win the battle. Yeah, why? Because her faith was exactly like the faith of those who took the city of Jericho. Give you some historical reference about this woman, Rahab. In the book of Ruth, and in Matthew chapter 1, actually Matthew 1, and then the book of Ruth, what you will find is in Matthew chapter 1 that Rahab marries. She no longer practices prostitution. She marries a man by the name of Salmon. He is in the lineage of Abraham. Salmon and Rahab begat a man by the name of Boaz. Ring a bell to anybody here. Boaz. And Boaz marries a woman by the name of Ruth, a Moabite now. By the way, what does Rahab and Ruth have in common? One's a Canaanite, one is a Moabite. But they both got faith, folks. These are women of faith now, not men of faith. These are women of faith. And through Ruth and Boaz came a man by the name of Obed. And when Obed married, he had a child, and that child's name is Jesse. When Jesse married, he had several sons. And the youngest son of Jesse is David. So when you're studying Rahab, you're studying the great-great-grandmother, David, the king of Israel. You ever thought of how your faith affects future generations? You ever thought of that? Years ago, Brother James Joyner, I've told this account before, came into Hopeful, Alabama. 5 generations ago, Brother Joyner preached to a woman named Sarah Abercrombie Camp. She obeyed the gospel on Sunday morning. Her son, the Methodist preacher, now, obeyed the gospel that night. That's my great-great-grandfather, William Camp. William Camp had several boys. Of his boys, he had a boy named Frank. Frank became a preacher, on top of the fact he ran the general store in Montford, Alabama. Frank had several children. Among his children was a man by the name of Joseph Franklin Camp. I call him Uncle Franklin. I never met William Camp. Never met Frank Camp. I know very well Franklin Camp. Franklin Camp had a nephew that preached. That nephew's name is James Wentford Clark. James Wentford Clark had a son, only one, and a daughter. You know them both. For James Wentford Clark, Sr.'s son is your preacher tonight. And who would have ever dreamed that 5 generations back in the 1800s, a man would give up denominationalism and by faith obey the truth of the New Testament plan of salvation. Leave denominationalism and start preaching the truth, and the trickle-down effect that goes from generation to generation to generation to generation to the Bethel Church of Christ local preacher. And I've said all that to say that. Who knows if time goes on for thousands of years where your faith won't ultimately end up down the stream of time? Do you see Rahab's faith in King David? Do you see Ruth's faith in King David? Ladies, don't think for a minute. You don't have an influence in your faith in future generations in the Lord's church. Gentlemen as well. It's a lot of things to be overcome in this world, but faith is the victory. It overcomes the world. And that's what that verse right there says. Whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Who is he that overcomes the world? Even your faith. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, encompassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot, Rahab, did not perish with those that did not believe, because she received the spies with peace. How is your faith tonight? I'm not talking about faith for your own personal benefit. That goes without saying. How about your faith for future generations? Like Rahab's faith, trickled down through future generations. Leaving prostitution to become one of the great women of the Bible. That's a change, isn't it? That's a major lifestyle change, isn't it? If it happened with harlots, it happened with publicans, it happened with a chief persecutor of the church, the power of the gospel can change anybody. If you're here tonight, your faith leads you now to leave sin like Rahab left prostitution, harlotry, left her own nation, like Ruth, thy people, my God. That's repentance, folks. That's a total change of life. But now I will gladly confess the faith that I have, particularly the faith that I have in Jesus Christ. I'm ready to bury my old man, having crucified my old man. I'm ready to rise out of that water a new life. You believe in water salvation? No. I believe in the power of grace through faith to save one soul, and faith is obedient to what God said to do. God said be baptized, and that's why I'm baptized. There ain't anything magical about that water. Maybe city water for all I know, county water, whatever. Just water. Matter of fact, you don't have to be baptized at baptistry. We'll go just find some muddy creek somewhere down here and be baptized in it. As long as there's enough of it. It's a burial. Is your faith great enough, like a Rahab, and like that second generation came out of Egypt, to show your obedience? Be victorious. Whatever demons you're fighting, whatever battles you're fighting, faith is the victory that overcomes. Maybe you need to come back to your first love. As Tim leads us in the song, won't you come while together we stand and sing?